Blog Talk Radio.
Someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted. Fairy tale brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Yeah, brownies, chocolatecoveredpeaches.com. Yeah. Chocolate-covered peaches. That's what I would have liked. I have to try that. I have to see how. I mean, chocolate goes great with everything. I know chocolate is like orange and stuff. I've never had chocolate with peaches. So what I'll have to do is I have some Belgian chocolate in the house. I'm going to melt it and, well, I don't know, maybe slice up a peach and pour it over there, let it sit and chomp it. See what it tastes like, chocolate and peach. Wow. I will also speak about, I have to talk about this election. I really do. Erectile dysfunction. That's what this is. Oh, my God, I really feel that, like, Mad Magazine would have a ball with this, you know, but that, and they have to watch out. Now, I'm going to talk about this later. I got an email, and again, I get emails, I don't, you know, so I don't write these things, and so I will read the email to you. Everybody's going to get upset, I guess, but this is an email, and I can't help but I look at this on the side of humor. I really do. And speaking of humor, no, my book's not out yet, but I have actually completed the words to the book. I have the foreword. Andrew Douglas wrote the foreword. Andrew Douglas, owner of the New York Sharks, wrote the foreword. I have the acknowledgments. I wrote that. And I even wrote the critiques myself. Because it's all humor. And I want everybody to, you know, to be sure that this is, you know, this is humor. I even have a little thing in there, an editor's note, which I'm not the editor. I don't know what to call myself, writer or editor. But editor's note, saying that this is not a puzzle. You don't get brownie points. Basically, you don't get brownie points for trying to point out any mistakes. You know, sometimes you make up words, and sometimes it could be some grammatical error that no one really gives a shit about anyway. So I want everybody to just enjoy the book itself. And when it's ready, I'll let you all know. And in the meantime, well, we have, I believe, well, we got one of our callers. Let's see which one it is. Who is it that's calling in? Is it Leaf or is it?
Merle, this is Leaf Johnson.
It's Leaf.
How are you?
Oh, just fine.
Greetings from beautiful Palisade, Colorado.
Yes. How is it, Dad? What's the weather like there?
Oh, it's awesome right now. We got a little bit of a storm that came through on Labor Day weekend, kind of adjusted the weather slightly. The highs, as you know, were in the mid-90s. The highs now are probably in the mid to high 80s.
You know,
so when you compare that to weather back east in New York State, without humidity, 80s,
yes,
are very,
yes,
comfortable here.
Yes, that's the difference. We got the same weather. Like, the temperature is just about the same, and you're right. I wanted to share, I forgot to share that it was interesting. Like, when I came home, I got off the plane, you know, and got out of the airport to get the taxi, and it's like, oh my God, I can't breathe. It's like, the difference. It can really make a difference with the humidity.
Yep, it is. It makes a real difference, and you know, that's something that you know, we love. And when we go travel into areas that are more humid, boy, you can just feel that humidity instantly.
Yeah, and how does that, now, like, if I go high into, you know, go up into the mountains of Colorado, I'm dealing with the heights, the
The elevation.
With the elevation, and that affects, what is that, the blood, not the blood pressure, what does it affect?
It does affect the blood pressure a little bit. It affects your breathing. You really have to kind of acclimate as you go higher up in elevation. We're pretty fortunate here in Palisade. We're in the high desert of western Colorado at 4,700 feet elevation, which is a pretty average elevation for Colorado. So I think, Merle, as we discussed, we have very mild winters here. We get, if we get 3 to 4 inches of snow on the ground, that's a lot.
Wow.
And it will stay maybe for 3 days to a week. If it stays 2 weeks, that's a long time before it melts off. And yet, just east of us, which borders Palisade, is the Grand Mesa, which tops out at over 11,000 feet elevation. They average 350 inches of snow a year.
Wow.
And we have a ski resort a 45-minute drive away, and they average over 300 inches of snow a year.
Jeez. Well, it's funny because, on the way there, now, unless my eyes were looking at something else, on the way there, I could actually see some mountains, some snow-covered mountains.
You can see some snow-covered mountains to the south, which are the San Juan Mountains down towards Telluride and Durango.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get the right angle, you can also see the West Elk Mountains around the Crested Butte area. But I will say that Grand Mesa, which to some people would appear to be a mountain for all practical intents and purposes, and can I tell you that the vertical elevation from what you can see at the top of Grand Mesa to the Colorado River going through Palisade is like looking from Grand Canyon North Rim down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. It's that much of a difference in elevation. But on top of Grand Mesa, they have over 300 lakes on top of the mesa.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And it's high alpine scenery. It's, you know, we've got moose up there and certainly black bear and mountain lion. And we'll get bears that come down into the valley. And we do get some mountain lion that follow along the river. But primarily they're up in the higher elevations.
Now, the animals that come down there, the bears and whatever, do they go to any particular orchard where they prefer the peaches?
Well, let me tell you, those bears, when they know that the fruit's out, that's when we see them around more, because there's certainly available foodstuff. And, you know, that certainly will attract bears. But, I mean, typically you don't see a whole lot. I had the good fortune. Not this peach festival, but a peach festival ago. Our peach festival, as you may recall, was not even a month ago. It was about 3 weeks ago. But a year ago, we saw a black bear right on the banks of the Colorado River.
Wow.
Right here in town.
What do you do? I mean, we've been finding, like, these little bears running around in New Jersey and stuff, but...
Well, we just kind of let them be.
I mean,
it's like, okay, go have some fruit, you know. Just don't take too much.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, they're more nocturnal anyway, and so you really don't see them much during the daytime. And typically, unless it's a dry year, they're just not a problem.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yep. Exactly.
Now you were telling me about, because of the Mesa Mesas. Because
my mother used to say Mesa.
Mesa, huh?
Yeah.
You were telling me about the weather or the peaches.
Well, let's kind
that
of
with the,
yeah. Let's kind of break this down first of all. Our area has a longer growing season, and we're in what's called the west end of the Grand Valley. Now, the Grand Valley is where the Colorado River kind of exits out of the high, more or less the high plateaus and the mountains, and it starts running through this valley. It's a very long valley. It's probably about 60 miles long by, at its widest, it's about 30 miles wide. And it's surrounded by mesas and cliffs, and it's a very scenic backdrop, as you well know. But it also makes for milder springs. And while we do get frost, an occasional frost in April here, we have a really unique phenomenon here at Palisade. And I need to set the stage for just a moment. Palisade is bordered by the Book Cliffs to the north. Now, the Book Cliffs, they probably average around 6,600 feet, and we're at 4,700 feet. So they're about 2,000 feet higher than we are here in town. The Grand Mesa borders town to the east, and that's about, well, it's well over 10,000 feet, 10,500 probably on the average. The Colorado River carves its way through a canyon between the two and exits, it's called the Beck Canyon, and it exits at the mouth, which is where Palisade is. So what we end up getting is we end up getting winds that come down from the uplands, from the mountains, that funnel on down through DeBec Canyon. And while they are kind of cool in the springtime, it keeps the frost off the orchard trees and the vineyards, so that we have a more frost-free spring than the rest of the Grand Valley, like the area where Grand Junction is and Fruita, Colorado after that and what have you. So this is the most verdant area, and it's the best area to grow fruit and grapes for winemaking.
So now I want to get into this thing about with the Peach Festival. I was wondering, do you also do something like the Cherry Festival, or is it because specifically the peaches?
Well, peach is king here, and what they found is that peaches grow better here, and thank you for asking that incidentally, than just about anywhere else in the nation. And there's another reason for it other than just the frost. And when the Colorado River comes out of the mouth of the Beck Canyon, over the period of hundreds of thousands of years, probably millions of years, it has changed course. And it has left some rich deposits in terms of silt and gravels, which make it perfect for growing in terms of agriculture. Now, the final ingredient is irrigation. And so we have, through the years, in fact, from the 1890s on, have built an extensive system of irrigation canals through not only Palisade but the Grand Valley. So we have some rich soils, we have winds that keep the frost down, and we've got the final ingredient, that's irrigation, and it makes for a really, really wonderful growing climate. And then the last ingredient is the weather. And the weather is such that it's dry enough. We don't get a whole lot of precipitation. We'll get some in spring. We'll get some monsoon activities in late summer. But we also get some very warm days during the middle of the summer, like from the mid to high 90s. And sometimes, and this is for a period of maybe a week to 2 weeks, it will hit a little over 100 here. And the beauty of it is that it really increases the juiciness of those peaches. So peach is king. But we also have apples, we also have pears, we also have plums, and we also have cherries, and we also have nectarines. And then there's another ingredient, and that is the grapes for the wines. And we are regarded both as the peach capital, and we call ourselves the fruit and wine capital, but the wine capital of Colorado. We have more than 15 wineries here in the Palisade area. And again, there's a reason for it. And all of those same effects with the keeping down the frost and the soil conditions, the arid climate, the temperatures, it just makes for a perfect growing area for grapes. So we are very comparable to a lot of vineyards, like as an example around the Mediterranean area. So combined, we are really kind of in the, you might call it the banana belt of Colorado.
Banana belt? Is that
what you said? Banana belt. How about that? Actually, we call it beach belt, but banana sounds better.
Oh, okay. As opposed to in upstate New York here, the borscht belt, huh?
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, one other quick thing about the peaches. Our peaches have been compared against Georgia peaches and peaches in Washington State and in California. And hands down, everybody that tastes them say that they are the best peach around. So we're very lucky. I guess I'd knock on wood, praise be. But, you know, we just have a wonderful condition here for growing peaches, and our wines are coming into they're becoming renowned throughout the United States. And people will hear more and more about Colorado wines, and obviously a lot of that is from the Palisade area.
Well, I guess I'm definitely going to find that out later in the show. We're doing a wine tasting.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be quite interesting.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to get drunk.
Listen, one other quick thing.
Yes.
Obviously, that's the reason that we have the Peach Festival. And the Peach Festival is very, very big here, not only in Palisade, but it's known throughout the state, and it's certainly getting a national reputation. We also have another event that you will probably be talking more about, called Wine Fest, Colorado Mountain Wine Fest. It happens here in Palisade the weekend of September 19th through the 21st. And that's about the time of the crush here in terms of our grapes. And there's a celebration. We have well over 60 wineries, I guess it is, in the state. But the majority of the wineries are here. We've got at least one quarter of the wineries right here in Palisade.
Wow. You know, if I went, if I did it that trip, I definitely, Jennifer would be putting, getting me at the airport saying, for the love of God, get me a plane.
Jennifer
I need my life to return to normal.
Jennifer sends her regards, incidentally. I talked to her about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. That was, yeah. In case my audience didn't hear about that. The reason that it was so funny, it wasn't as much as her saying, you know, for the love of God, get her on the plane. I need my life to return to normal. It was the fact that the woman behind the counter thought that she was my daughter and said, how could you talk to your mother like that? That's terrible.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, goodness gracious, yeah. So, but yeah, that would be interesting. I don't think I'd be able to handle going to that weekend. Where you'd
well,
have to like.
it sure is a lot of fun. Let me tell you.
Yeah, I bet. No, it would be interesting. You know, doing wine tastings from different wineries because you can't. Again, you know, you can't assume. Like if I go out to the North Fork of Long Island, I could hit 15 wineries along one route.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like all the wines are going to taste the same, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the white wines or, you know, things like that. Or even a Chardonnay from one winery might taste different from a Chardonnay at another winery.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or even the year, you know, depends. There's a lot. A lot depends on not just the soil, or you know, when it's
sure, absolutely.
All kinds.
And I mean, obviously, the climate has a lot to do with it. And was it a hot year? Was it a dry year? Was it a rainy year? All those things come into with the frost. I mean, was there a frost? And did it have an impact in terms of the grapes? And those are always things that whether you're growing grapes and producing wines or if you're growing fruit, You are obviously at the nature, at the mercy of Mother Nature, and those are things that come into play in terms of certainly the quality of wine and the year and the vintage and what have you.
Yeah, I'm curious in terms of the other fruits. I mean, would I notice, let's say, the difference with other fruits like the cherries and tasting tomatoes from there and tomatoes from California, or you know,
well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm the best person to answer that totally.
Okay.
Because number one, I'm
I'll
probably
put you
personally
on the spot.
Prejudiced.
Answer it anyway.
That's right. Exactly.
The hell
number
with
two,
you.
I don't,
answer it.
Yeah. I mean, let's put it this way. I sure like our tomatoes a whole lot better than store-bought tomatoes.
Okay.
There's no question. There's no doubt about it. We have some great vegetables that are grown right here. I think our cherries are awesome. I think that they are second to none. I just had some pears that I thought were, quite honestly, they're the best pears I've tasted in a long, long time.
Really?
Yep.
I have to get in touch with whoever has pears.
Couple. Well, there's several places here, but Clark's Family Orchard has a large pear orchard. There's one place called Pear Blossom Farms. But most of the orchards, a majority of the orchards, will have pears as well. And I am sitting here looking at tomatoes and peppers that just came off the vine, and I'm taking those home with me tonight.
Send me a few. Actually, I was telling Teresa, hi, that... Mm-hmm. It, like in terms of peaches, like you know, in New York, it's like I want to have a peach and then I'm always disappointed.
Uh-huh.
It's a peach,
uh-huh.
And I'm finding the same thing with pears too. I love pears, and again, it's like oh, it's not. I expect, and I guess I think it's from what I'm tasting, the sweeter the fruit is, the more flavor.
Oh, I would totally agree.
And so if I'm getting a pear and it's not really sweet enough, you know, I don't want to buy pear nectar to get it.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't
uh-huh.
want to mix it with sugar just to, you know, to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll have to give me some contact people because I want to. Heck, I'll talk another time about pears.
Absolutely. You know what? I will work on that.
You know, I'd like to, because I like to discuss food, and I wanted, you know, to kind of emphasize to people, you know, as I talked about last week, that in terms of quality and pricing, you're going to pay a little more for produce that's fresher and tastier.
Oh, absolutely. But I got to tell you, it's well worth it. I mean, once you taste it, you won't want to go back. That's for darn sure.
Now, by the way, you have a farmer's market on Thursdays?
We, in Grand Junction, they have a farmer's market on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
We actually have what we call our Palisades Sunday Farmer's Market, and that's Sundays, and that runs from mid-June through about mid-September. In fact, it's designed to coincide with the end of Wine Fest. This year, we will have peaches because we have had a late season for peaches. We're about 2 weeks behind what we typically are. We will be harvesting peaches well into October.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, great.
Yep, we sure will. And there's one thing that I forgot, although, I mean, the season's really passed, but we're also well-known for apricots.
Now, that's another one. See, that's
yep.
another fruit. Because I find that if I'm going to have and you say apricots, huh?
Yep, apricots
versus
or apricots.
Huh?
Yep, exactly.
That's another one that I find that if I'm going to have an apricot that... I'm going to wind up with a dried apricot
mm-hmm.
to get a better taste.
These are not dry.
and
these
and I don't
very,
yeah and
very,
I
very juicy and very luscious.
Yeah. So that's another fruit. So maybe like I said, you can like help me get in touch with some of the growers there, and they can send me some, you know, some of the fruit so we can what I'll do is I'll compare it.
We'll take care of that, Merle.
Okay, because I'll go to the store, if I get a chance, I know that apricots, I'm not sure whether they're in season here or being grown here. I know that when I was out on Long Island where they have a lot of farm stands, one of the places had the apricots, but they weren't just grown kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, like they might have gotten from someplace else.
Sure.
And there was a consumer there who said to me, we got into a chat, and she said, "Oh, the apricots aren't sweet." I said, "Really?" She said, "No, because they're not, you know, they're not really in, you know, totally in season yet, or you know, when they're, you know, supposed to be picked." So I'm not sure if I get a chance to go back out to Long Island, I would like to get some of them and compare them to see you know, how it tastes, you know, from one state or one area to another.
I think that would be interesting. Merle, let's not forget too. We have some other interesting things in the.
I'm gonna forget.
Area.
You'll remind me.
What can I tell you?
Okay.
We have a couple of other unique businesses here.
Yeah.
One is called Peach Street Distillers, and they located in Palisade because they make their brandies from peaches, so they have peach brandy, and they certainly have other varieties of brandies. They also do like a cherry brandy.
Right.
And so they work with the local fruit to put more flavor into their brandies. They also do vodka, and that comes from Olathe Sweet Corn, which is about 60 miles down the road. Olathe is world-renowned for its sweet corn. And they also do a gin that they use local juniper berries. And they just came out with an awesome bourbon. And this is very unique for our area, and they package and sell it throughout the state of Colorado, and obviously they're working on selling it beyond that, but it's their premium spirits, and it's really neat. They give tours. In fact, we have many of the orchards, the wineries, Peach Street Distillers, and our last one, Palisade Brewery, which does incredible microbrews, and they do a peach beer in the fall. That give tours of their facilities and their orchards and their vineyards throughout the season. So it's pretty neat. It's just another unique and added thing to do.
Well, on the show, that when I did the show there, we had Rory Donovan on.
That's right, Rory Donovan from
Peach Street
Distillers.
Yeah, we talked about this. Matter of fact, yeah, he owes me some booze.
I love it. I'll have to remind him.
He has to, because actually what I wanted to do is I wanted to, the bourbon, I couldn't handle the bourbon. I'm not a bourbon person. I was interested in actually tasting a peach vodka that he had?
Probably the peach brandy. I'm not,
brandy maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to get. He was going to send me some things to taste because I'm more curious about like when you I used to get into, and I'm not a drinker, but what would happen is I would be, I don't know, walking around, like I'll be looking in one of the stores,
mm-hmm.
and I'll see something. Like, you know, some kind of liquor made from some fruit or something. And I would look at it and say, what? They made a liquor out of that? I mean, I can't imagine how it would taste. So I would go in and I would buy a miniature, one of the miniatures, just to taste it, just to see. I wound up with a collection of miniatures doing this, which I finally got rid of. But it was...
Now, how did you get rid of those?
I threw out. I had to throw it out. Some I gave to some people. I mean, but... yeah, I know. But, you know, it's like it just... A lot of it, I would say at least half was already empty and just sitting on like a ledge, you know, for my collection. Because the problem was that I would start buying miniatures because of how interesting the bottles were. I looked like, you know, somebody coming in the house would probably think that I'm an alcoholic. And it was like, you don't know what I've been drinking. But it's like it interests me I'm wondering how a peach, something with, you know, a liquor made with peaches, how much of the peach that I would, you know, actually taste.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's all depending on your palate. And, I mean, you know, some people say, that's kind of weak. And some people say, that's kind of interesting because it's kind of a different aspect. It's a different perspective. You've got other ingredients, obviously. I mean, you know, you've got the alcohol kind of taste. So it's not like they're trying to go for an overpowering taste because, as an example with vodka, you want to be able to taste the vodka. But by the same token, you want to have this really kind of unique taste, this unique experience, and I think that's where a lot of your premium vodkas are going, is, you know, providing you with those kind of unique tastes, appealing to your palate, you know, your taste buds. It's kind of like wine.
Right.
And it really isn't that far off.
So,
can I switch gears with you one more time?
Yes.
Because I think this is also important in terms of Palisade.
Oh, of course, all of the boys. As a matter of fact, you have plenty of time to talk because I don't know what happened to Farmer Bob.
Well, I can't answer that, but I will tell you this, that, and he's one of the people that has a really unique aspect or perspective because he does a lot of packaged fruit products. And as you tasted there at the Peach Festival, he is now doing peach fudge.
Oh, wasn't that something?
It is something. And he's doing more than that, too. I mean, he does peach jams and jellies. He does peach salsas. I mean, you know, there's a variety of different things. And incidentally, there are a couple wineries here in Palisade that do peach wines. So it's not all about just grapes. It's all about an experience. And it's really... that's what makes us so unique. And one of the things, Merle, I don't know if you got a chance to experience or not, but we have a wonderful art colony here. We have a lot of artists that have chosen Palisade because it is so unique. It is so different. You know, Palisade, you think in terms of all the agriculture, well, agriculture is agriculture is agriculture. Well, you throw in things like the Colorado River and you throw in things like the outstanding scenery, the dynamic scenery.
Oh, yeah.
The scenery that national parks are made of, that are located right around this immediate area, and it's just a wonderful combination. And certainly, to say the least, that the climate is just absolutely wonderful. It's outstanding in terms of summers. You can look forward to just incredible mornings, incredible evenings, fall and spring, just incredible days. In winter, you can always get outside. You're never closed in terms of having to stay within your house. Just a neat environment.
I have to say, one of the things that I thought was kind of like, I need to find another word than interesting. You know, we need to come up with the... But with the maces, it's like... If you look at them, it looks like that the bottom is almost sand.
Yep. Isn't that something? Well, it's you have to remember here you've got really naked rock layers. In other words, you can kind of read the rock layers here. So as an example, for the top of the Book Cliffs, we have the Mesa Verde Formation. Now, the Mesa Verde Formation is the same formation that's down there in southwest Colorado, where all the cliff dwellings are. But up here, the Anasazi, while they came through this area, they didn't make their dwellings up in this area. But beneath that, you have a kind of a talus slope, if you will, called the Manco Shale. And it's kind of gray, and it's kind of buff, and it's kind of barren. And anywhere else, it's just high desert. But with the right combination of water and soils to supplement it, we have a very verdant valley. So the beauty of it is that you have this striking scenery right out your door, shooting thousands of feet up, and it's naked rock. And, boy, I'll tell you, with sunrise and sunset, you get some of the most beautiful, beautiful views and vistas you could ever see.
What it looks like to me is that, I mean, several years ago, it looks as if that whole bottom of the mesa was underwater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's
it was underwater, actually. In fact, you're right, because the Manco Shale is what's called the muck of an inland sea, and it was the Manco Sea. It happened about 80 million years ago, and in the Manco Shale... 80 million years ago.
Yeah, would we call that 80 million BC?
I would say we call that, yes.
Okay.
BC, absolutely, let me tell you. But you can find shark's teeth in there. You can find oyster shells. And there is still leftover salts that leach up towards the top. So you will see areas that look like there's snow. Well, it's not snow. It's really it's salts. And it's not refined salt. Don't mistake it for that. But it looks in parts of the area, particularly out in to the south of us, like Badlands, something out of Planet of the Apes.
Okay. Yeah,
how about
I did mistake. You know, that's funny because when I thought I was looking at snow, once we got closer. To the mesas, I looked. I said, "That's not snow. It's something else."
Yep, exactly.
Something else.
Yeah, something else. But now on the top of the mesa, well, it's a little bit late right now for any more snow on the top of the mesa. But we did have snow this year through June and into early July that still stayed on the top of the mesa. So. We're kind of blessed here to have that kind of feel, that kind of source in terms of water and stuff. In fact, our drinking water comes from the top of Grand Mesa. So we have some of the best drinking water in Colorado.
I forgot to comment about that. When I travel, you know, like I don't necessarily want to have bottled water, but I'm so used to decent New York City water, you know, that when I travel, like, you know, water has funny tastes everywhere else. So when I asked about the water, water's great, blah, 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 and I said, oh, okay. And it really was. I mean, it really was like, oh, there is no taste, which is what I want. No taste when I'm drinking water. I'm trying to quench my thirst. That's simple. That's all. With, you know, no taste. And I have to congratulate you, or you guys out there, for having great water.
Well, thank you.
I know you're going to turn around and bottle it.
And we're going to ship it out to New York.
And ship it out to New York. Yes, that's what they have you do.
too much.
You got to get somebody to bottle some water and ship it to me, and I can do a water tasting test for you.
That's great. Oh, neat.
Yeah, that's really cool. I also, you know, like, I don't know what's happened to Everybody, like, I don't know whether everybody forgot to call in or they got too busy.
I'm going to have to get after those folks, aren't I?
I know. Lee Mathis was supposed to be calling in to talk about the cheesecakes, the gourmet cheesecakes. And he was, I understand he does some chefing, as I call it.
No, he does some chefing, all right.
Yeah.
We had him, you know, we had him at Peach Festival. We had a couple of what we call Feast in the Field dinners. Feast in the Field.
Yes.
And these were elegant four-course dinners using local Palisade products paired with Palisade wines and served in the orchards.
Wow.
And they were a hit. We limited it to 60 people each. It was our first year of doing it, and both nights, Friday and Saturday night, sold out. So we'll be looking to probably expand that program next year, but Lee Mathis was our chef for those dinners.
Really?
How about that?
Son of a gun. Now he thinks he's such a bitch shot that he forgot to call in. Yeah, I'm telling you, those chefs, they have such egos.
Aye, what can you say?
I'm going to go after his ass.
There you go.
But I'll bet you that he's... Now, I have a feeling that both Farmer Bob and Lee are they in the middle of the... the farmer's market?
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Bob is at farmer's market tonight. I don't know where Lee is. Again, there's a farmer's market on Thursday nights in downtown Grand Junction. So I would say that he could very well be there.
Yeah, they both might.
Yep. And, of course, Bob's kind of in the middle of harvest as well. So it's hard to say where he is.
Okay. All right. Lee, I won't say anything nasty about his stuff then.
Lee, the cheesecake guy, can't tell you.
Yeah. Those interesting cheesecakes, those gourmet cheesecakes.
Oh, he does some great cheesecakes. No doubt about it.
Such odd combinations of cheesecakes. But
The only
problem I found is was that it's hard for me to judge the cheesecake itself because I'm getting too many flavors. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And because, like, here, I have my favorite cheesecake here in New York.
Uh-huh.
And I'll get a plain cheesecake when I do it. And so it was very difficult to get a sense of, like, the cheesecake itself. But what's great is that, you know, people are into all sorts of flavors, and they probably appreciate it. A lot more than I do of having, like, I think there was some that had some wines in it or fruit, you know, all kinds of things like that.
Uh-huh.
One with cactus.
Is that something?
Yeah. So, I mean, so they were really tasty. I think it's called Decadence Gourmet Cheesecakes. I don't have the website.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
If anybody wants to check it out. And the other one is Alida's Fruit, ALIDA'S. I'm going to go, you know, munch on some of this stuff here. I feel bad. I'm making you talk for so long. All right. I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
What I'll do is I'll break with some music, commercials, before I have Bob call, and hopefully he won't forget, and he'll call.
You got his phone number?
No, I don't. But I can't call him because I'm
you
on the phone.
Oh, that's true. Well, maybe what I'll do is give him a gentle reminder.
Okay. Yeah,
how's
give
that?
Him a gentle reminder. And maybe, I mean, if you happen to know Farmer Bob's. Well, I mean, but he has I should have got his cell phone, huh?
I've got it.
You got it?
I got it.
All right. I'll let you call Farmer Bob.
You got it.
And hopefully I'll give them a few minutes or so to talk, okay?
You got it. We'll do it.
And I'm looking forward to the T-shirt.
Hey, it's on its way. It's in the mail.
Oh, yeah, like the check, right.
Yeah. Oh, Merle, it's been a pleasure.
Yes, it was wonderful meeting you. You're so full of it. I mean, you're so full of...
Thank you very much.
And hopefully, sometime maybe I'll get back out there. Heavens knows what else I can learn. But, I'll talk to you soon about, maybe getting some of the other fruit so we can, I can discuss that on the air as well.
I think that would be great.
Okay?
I think that would be great. All right. Well, you take care.
Yeah.
Have a great evening. And to your listeners, come and visit us in beautiful Palisade, Colorado.
Okay.
All right. You take care.
Okay. You too.
Thanks,
a good
Merle.
Evening.
All right.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. So, I don't know what's going on with these people. It could be worse. I mean, last week, Chubby Checker was supposed to call in. I don't know. I don't understand. Now, the information I got about... with Chubby Checker not calling in, the PR person apologizes. I don't want the PR person to apologize. They're a PR person. I want to know why they didn't call in, And now I forgot. And I wonder what the I forgot when it comes to, again, because this happened before, and whether the I forgot would be the same if it was a paid gig, but the guy says to me he was probably Thursday nights. He says that Chubby Check on Thursday night, he goes to church. He says, and his wife is ill. And then he emails and says, maybe we can get him on another show. I email back and say, well, if he goes to church on Thursday nights and do my show on Thursday nights, what's he going to assure me he's going to call? I mean, he'll be at church. I don't know. We can pull through I'll be opening up the wine pretty soon. But anyway, I want to take a break. I want to take a music break. And I'll have more to talk about. Oh, I know what I'm in the mood. Oh yeah.
Let go till one true time I hold you in my life will always go on. Yeah. Oh.
Leave a message. And so, well, I'll do this quickly because I know we got that Bob is called in. I believe it's Bob, but I'll click on him in a minute. But I just want to complete this. But anyway, so what happened is I tried now to get a hold of the general manager. The general manager was saying, I'll have Kerry call you. This went on. And finally, like it's, you know, 2 days before, and I need information. And I get to find out that Spotlight Dead, or now I'm calling it, has been closed by the city. And I don't know how long it's been closed, and that they don't know when they're going to open. And I said, it's 2 days from now. When would you have told me? I mean, well, we would have shown up there and to find out it was closed. And then they're turning around and they're saying, you know, there's nothing we can do. Saying, you know, who the owner is, et cetera, as opposed to taking responsibility. They could have told me, like, 5-6 days ago or whatever, that this has happened and that there's a possibility the event won't happen. And they didn't want to be responsible for it. And then they turn around to me and they say, well, we can't find, it doesn't look like we have a contract here. So they're trying to get out of it that way. And I turn around and say, well, I have the contract in my hand. And not only that, and I send them the email, which because we had to make a change of date, the email from the general manager that says the new date is confirmed. And all of a sudden, I didn't get an answer on this. So I am going to, you know, like, give, you know, thumbs down on Spotlight Live for doing this and not necessarily the place itself, but the people who manage it. I believe I'm the general manager who is named, I believe, is I'll get that, you know, before the end of the show. I'll go back to that. And, you know, I need to name these people who just, you know, refused to do their job. And now all they had to do was just communicate. And so, okay. I'm not going to go to a commercial because, now, do I have Bob on the air?
Yeah, good evening.
Wait a minute. One is Farmer Bob and the other is Bob Witham. Which one do I got?
You got Bob Witham.
Okay, good. Let's go drink a little bit. I need it. No,
yeah, sounds like after your last story, you need to take a little break and have some wine. So.
Oh, yeah. Now, the reason I just want everybody to know, the reason I have that we're talking with Bob is because when I did this wine tasting, which I'm not sure if it, you'll remind me if we do this with white wines, but it was particularly with the red wines that we were doing this type of tasting to get the acidity, the tannins, I believe. Is that what you said?
Yeah, there's really three different acids that we'll talk about.
Okay. And so this is why I'm having him on the air to discuss. We'll talk about, first let's go into a basic wine tasting. I have, by the way, I have the Merlot, of all names, Merlot. I didn't even think about that. Andrew reminded me that it's Merl, M-E-R-L-O-T, you know, how perfect for my name. Anyway, so let's first talk about how does one go about tasting any wine?
Well, now, Merl, do you have both a white and a red wine in front of you and have them poured in a glass?
Well, I want to specifically do. I don't want to. I'll get the white wine later. I want to do the red wine only because it's a completely different thing for me to be tasting a red wine the way you say it. But I want to first just go into wine tasting in general.
Okay. Well, let me just chat with you for a moment. You know, tasting wine, is, in particular red wines, is all about the acids. And a lot of folks don't care for red wine because the acids are too strong for them. And so if you can condition your mouth for those acids, then you have a better opportunity to get the flavors of those red wines. And I might say to you that tasting wine is quite different than consuming wine. And what do you think the difference is? Well, it's real simple. simple. It's the swallow. And so if you just put your head onto and your mindset into tasting wine instead of consuming it, then you have a lot better opportunity, again, to understand what the wine's about. So you have a glass of red wine in front of you, and what we're going to do is walk through a process here of conditioning your mouth for that red wine.
Okay.
And we're going to find three different acids in that wine, and I'm going to show you where to find those acids, and then vicariously by doing so, then you will have conditioned your mouth. So let's go through that process. And if you have any listeners that have a glass of red wine, they could do the same thing and get the same effects as well.
Now, let me begin by first asking, and I'm not sure which is which, that whether it's red wine should be at room temperature, am I right, that, and white wine should be cold, is that?
That's true.
Okay.
And, you know, anywhere from, 70 to 75 degrees. Some people like red wine a little bit more. But the more important thing is that you always age that wine or you store that wine at a consistent temperature. So you don't want to have fluctuations going on with it.
Okay.
But presumably yours is sitting there at your room temperature right now.
Right.
Okay.
I purposely did that. I just, because I thought I remembered, at least from enough wine tasting, about that red wines are a room temperature thing. Versus the white wines of...
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so now the first thing that we're going to do is I'm going to show you how to find the tannins, or the tannic acid in red wines. And what I want you to do is take some of the wine from your glass, put it up to your mouth, of course, and then put it between your lower lip.
Let me first ask you if I should swish the wine, look at the... to see that it's clear, and put my nose into it.
Well, you know, that's those are all important parts, and we could talk about those as well.
Okay.
But I was going to focus on how to condition your mouth. But actually,
okay.
let me just say briefly to you that to smell the wine is important. Swirling it in the glass opens it up, and so it gives you a better opportunity to smell that wine. And what you're looking for is the absence of an unpleasant odor. Now, that might sound strange to you, but rather than looking for a specific odor, hope for and count on having an absence of an odor that's unpleasant. And those unpleasant odors that you might get from wines, which you won't have for the wine that you have there, are a musty sort of odor, which means that the cork has gone bad. Perhaps it's a vinegarish smell or odor, which means that the wine has likely oxidated because it's gotten oxygen into it when it's in the bottle. Perhaps it has a sulfur smell, which simply means that it's too much sulfites have been added to it. And then finally, you might get a unpleasant barnyard smell, which is really a bacteria that is called Brettanomycin, or Brett as we call it. And so when you smell the wine, see if you don't have any of those particular things that I've just described to you.
Nope. I smelled it. I just want people to understand that when you're smelling the wine, you're not just putting it up to your nose. You're actually sticking your nose in the glass, correct?
That's right, because you want to get the odors of the wine instead of the outside odors that might be around it, like perfume and...
Right.
Somebody's chewing gum or something.
Okay.
And then you also mentioned about looking at the wine, and if you take your wine and tip it forward, if you have a white paper in front of you, stick that white paper there in front of the wine, and look for that crest that's up by the lip of the wine. And if it is sort of an orangish color, which the wine that you have won't be, that is a notation about the age of the wine. The more orange it is, really the older the wine is. So younger wines have about the same color as what you see in the glass. So that's a way that you could simply tell whether or not you're having an old wine or not. And guess what? You can also look at the label and tell that same thing, whether it's an older wine or not.
That's another thing I didn't know. So let's continue. Wow.
All right.
Okay.
So now let's go try to find those three different acids that I talked about.
Okay.
And the first one we're going to look for is the tannins. Now, tannic acid or tannins, they come from the skins and the seeds of grapes. So the thicker the skins are, the more tannins that are likely going to be in a particular wine. And in that regard, what I want you to do is take a little bit of the wine and put it between your lower lip and your gum. So you're going to have to work it down there. Just kind of pretend like it might be chewing tobacco. I know you don't chew, but anyway, that's the place that you want the wine to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to press pretty hard there, making sure that you do it for about 10 seconds or so. And so just a little bit longer. And then go ahead and swallow that. Tell me when you have.
Okay.
Okay, and now look for that chalky dustiness that's between your lower lip and your gum. Can you get that sensation?
Yeah.
Okay, those are the tannins. That's the tannic acid. And the more robust a wine is, generally speaking, the more tannins it has. So if somebody says, boy, this wine seems heavy or it seems robust, they're really saying that it has a lot of tannic acid in it. Okay.
Now, let me ask you, like, what would you expect, because it's a Merlot?
A Merlots typically are medium-bodied wines. So you wouldn't have a lot of sensation, but clearly you will have some. And if it was a Cabernet Sauvignon, for an example, it would have a lot more dustiness or chalkiness that's down there. In fact, you might talk about this a little bit, not because you had too much, but just simply because a lot of tannins in it.
Okay. And right. By the way, for people, the way I did this is like this. I don't know if you know this, is when you're taking, like, holistic medicines, that's the place that you're supposed to put it?
Yeah, because it's very absorbent.
Yeah.
Right. Now, there's another place in your mouth that is very absorbent for acids, and yet you're going to find a totally different acid in this place in your mouth. So this time I want you to take a sip of the wine and take it to the back part of your mouth and make sure that you get both sides of the back of your tongue nice and moist. And you might want to rock your head back and forth. And by the way, you're going to want to do this for maybe about 20 seconds or so, a little bit longer, because that area, while it is an absorbent part of your mouth, it is not quite as absorbent as it is between your lower lip. So do that for just a little bit longer. Malic acid is the same acid that when you take a bite out of an apple, you get a little bit of sting back there. And so when you eventually swallow that, which you should do about now, look for that little twinge that goes on back there, that little bit of a sting.
Yeah.
And that is the malic acid that you're the sensation that you're getting. Now, this is going to be a little bit more difficult, but what I want you to do for a moment is just think about that sensation in the back of your tongue right now and go to the lower side of the back of your tongue, and you're going to feel just a little bit of a swelling that's going to go on right back there. Can you get that sensation? It's very slight.
The lowest, yes. Okay. Okay, I know what you mean.
And now that is what you're experiencing there with that swelling is the lactic acid, which is the third acid. So it manifests itself more in terms of a swelling instead of a textile feeling towards your mouth. But now, more importantly than anything, your mouth should be very numb right now.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. So now what I'd like you to do is just take a sip of wine as if you're just going to simply have a regular taste of it and go ahead and sip it and swallow it and look for a couple things. Number one, look how soft that wine is. And then number two, think about all the flavors that you're going to be able to get out of it. And the reason that that's happening for you is because you have conditioned your mouth for those acids that are now not overbearing because they have been absorbed into your those places in your mouth, or they've conditioned your mouth for the wine.
That's quite interesting. I have to say, really, I mean, I now enjoy the flavor of the Merlot.
Yeah, because, red wines, as I said in the early part of my speaking with you, red wines are always about the acids. And if you can condition your mouth for the acids, then, of course, you have a better opportunity to get the flavors. So when there's a judge that's out there tasting wine, typically what they'll do for, you know, those people are tasting 40 or 50 wines in one setting and judging them. And so what they'll do is go through that little exercise that I just took you through, only they won't swallow it. They'll go ahead and spit it out. And then the second one, then they'll go ahead and taste that wine and swallow it as well. So it gives them an opportunity now for the next wine to go ahead and condition their mouth for those particular acids, and then hence being able to get the flavors.
Wow. That's really, by the way, if I start breaking out in laughter, don't worry about it. I mean, it's already gone to my head.
Oh, boy.
But that's my reaction. Yeah. I mean, I know people will probably say, oh, you had a whole glass of wine. No, I had just as much as the sips that you told me.
Well, and see, that's just, you know, like I said, there's a difference between, you've also consumed a little wine.
Right.
You've tasted it and you've consumed it. So the swallow is the consumption part of it.
Yeah. But I'm curious if, I will try so hard to talk, man. If I tasted another Merlot or a different year of a Merlot or, you know, another brand of Merlot, would I necessarily have the same taste or not?
No, there would be different. And that, of course, is the uniqueness about wines, and that people seek out the different flavors because it all has to do with the growing season and the amount of sunshine during certain parts of time, the amount of water, a whole series of different growing practices create the possibilities for more interesting wines. So if you were to have three Merlots sitting there side by side, likely they would all be a little bit different, and they should be.
Now, I also want to tell you another reaction that I'm having with this is that, and I guess it's because of the, you know, what I did in the beginning of all that. What did you call? I'm sorry. What did you call that to have my mouth?
The called what, Meryl?
No. What in the beginning part to have, so that my mouth is now ready to taste the wine.
Well, it's conditioning your
conditioning
your mouth,
okay,
for the wine.
But I want to say that because of the conditioning, I'm also not feeling, and I don't know whether it's the particular wine itself, but I'm not feeling what I call the alcohol bite. Would you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And
sometimes it's like at the back of my throat when I'm tasting a wine, when I feel this like alcohol bite, it's like, that's why I'll say to the, I keep saying, sommelier, is that how you pronounce it?
Sommelier.
Yeah. I'll say that I want, because I try to describe what I want. That I'll say I want a white wine, I want it buttery, I want it, you know, to be smooth in the back of my throat. And then I'll leave it up to them because I can't make an assumption that it's going to be a Chardonnay. Or whatever, you know, they will make that assumption. But I think the white wine that you sent me, I have to go get it. But the white wine that you sent me is a Chardonnay, correct?
It is, yes.
Okay. Now, would you suggest that I go get it and that it won't interfere with what I just had?
Well, it won't, but we can go through that same exercise, and I'll show you why white wines don't have the same acids in them.
Okay.
You can either do that, or you can save that for another time.
I'll save it for another time.
Yeah. But let me just to...
I actually want to enjoy the Merlot. Not that I'll drink the bottle, but
sure.
I'm sure a half a glass will do. Yes. And I have another question in regards whether this is true or not true in terms of eating. I mean, is it really going to make a difference what I have to eat?
Well, it does, but, there are certain wines that go better with other foods, and clearly, for an example, sweeter wines, you don't want to have a wine that is a dessert that is sweeter than the wine is, because that'll take it off balance. And typically, they talk about red wines go better with red meat and whites with fish and that sort of thing. But at the same time, I think it's fair to say that if you have a particular wine that you really like a lot, and you have a particular dish that you like a lot, go ahead and have those wines together, too, because what you're going to do is you're going to have the best of both worlds, two wines, a wine that you like and a dinner that you like or a meal. So there is clearly something to be said about pairing food and wine, but there's also you can go a little bit overboard with it, in my opinion.
Okay. Now, I have another question, then, in regards to this. So now I'm tasting the Merlot the way it is, and will I get a different taste, let's say, if I am pairing it? Let's just say I say, okay, I'm going to cook up a steak and taste it with the steak. And will I get a different taste of the wine? Will the wine taste different?
It should not. But, you know, it is the flavors that perhaps you're affecting. You know, the wine's flavors can become compromised, or they can become beneficial depending on what else is in your mouth. And let me give you an example of that.
Sure.
That red wine, the Merlot that you're tasting with a steak, is going to be still going to be a pleasant wine, and it's going to also complement the steak. But if you were to go in and brush your teeth with toothpaste and then come out and have a sip of that wine, then those don't complement each other at all.
Okay.
So it just depends on, it depends on what you have in your mouth at the time that really dictates the different flavors and the different sensations that you're going to get.
Try that maybe with putting some peach jam on a piece of bread.
That won't go really well with
the Merlot.
I don't think so.
I prefer, let's say, if I'm going to have wine, I like to have it, like, before the meal or, you know, separate from eating. Now,
well,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're in good company with a lot of folks out there. You know, a lot of people like to just sit down and have a glass of wine and enjoy it separate because they're seeking out, searching for the flavors of the wine, and they don't want to have that compromise because of the food, or they don't want to necessarily have the benefit of the wine with the food either. So, you know, a lot of people just have a glass of wine and in the evening time before dinner instead of a cocktail or instead of a beer, and more power to them.
Yeah. Well, as I said, it's the conditioning. The conditioning really made a difference on the red wine. I hope, like, you know, I don't know what the allergy. I have an allergy to red wine, so I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm not going to, I don't want people to get upset or anything. I don't necessarily react by, you know, my throat isn't going to choke up or anything like that. Probably my face will turn red. That's something like that. That's about it.
Well, it happens to some people.
Or I may wind up with a bit of a stomach ache.
Yeah.
That's what I find. But then that's okay. I mean, better to have a stomach ache from this than a McDonald's burger. You know what I mean?
I agree.
But just let me ask you in terms, just so people understand, if I'm doing a white wine, am I going to do the same procedure, or I don't necessarily have to do that, you know, to condition my mouth only because it's a white wine?
Well, when we make wine, when we make red wines, we keep...
Boy, it's hot in here!
When we make red wines, we keep the skins and seeds as part of the fermentation process. And that's where the color comes from, is the skins, and it also is where the acids come from. But when we make a white wine, we simply press out that juice and just take the juice and not the skins and seeds. So white wines don't have the same amount of acids in them because of the way that we process the grapes initially. And that is because, with a white wine, you're really having a departure from those acid tastes that people have. So when you taste a white wine, there's a couple things to look for. The first one is, if you were to go through that exercise that we just did, you wouldn't find the tannins below your lower lip and the tongue, and you would find a little bit of malic acid in the back of your mouth, but not enough that it's going to hang there like it does with the red wines.
Let me interrupt you because I want to ask, because I might be thinking of something different. Is it the malic acid that I'm feeling when I'm thinking alcohol?
No. No, malic acid is just an acid there.
I'm saying that it burns, so to speak.
Yeah, well, it's because the alcohol has glycerides in it, and there's a different chemical.
So it has nothing to do with the acids. I'm not mistaken one thing for another when I'm calling it alcohol burning.
And sometimes, it takes a pretty refined palate to find alcohol in a wine, unless it's very prevalent. If it's very prevalent, then it's pretty easy to find. But typically, wineries don't want you to find that alcohol because it does have some unpleasant tastes to it if it's very prevalent.
Okay.
You want me to tell you how to find the alcohol before you put it in your mouth?
Yes.
Are you wearing glasses?
I'll put them on.
No, don't put them on.
Oh, okay.
You keep your glasses off. And remember you talked about when you smell wine, you want to put your nose right down into it?
Right.
So what I want you to do is do that, and I want you to take deep breaths, just like as if a physician said, has a stethoscope on your back, and he wants you to take deep breaths.
Right.
And take them in through your nose, but as you're doing that, let it drift up towards your eyes. And it's going to be a very slight sensation, but let it drift up towards your eyes as you're smelling through your nose, keeping it down deep into the glass. And you get that little burning sensation in your eyes?
Okay.
That's the alcohol.
That's the alcohol. Okay.
And if you have, if it's a bigger burn, it kind of stings a little bit, then it has more alcohol. If you don't get any of that sensation, then it means it's a pretty low alcohol wine.
Okay. This show's going to end soon. I don't want it to cut off on you. I just want to, Two Rivers Winery and Chateau, you have a website?
Yeah, we're in Grand Junction, Colorado.
Okay. Because I have all my thing says I have 1 minute remaining.
Okay, let me just say one more thing to you real quickly. Of all the things that you learned about wine, there's only one thing that you need to remember, and that is that when wine goes in, secrets come out.
Okay.
All right,
thanks a whole lot, Bob.
Okay, good to talk to you.
This has been really great. Have a wonderful evening, and of course I'll be writing about this as well.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Got to end that show. End the show now. Yep, it ended. I have some remaining. Next week, I'm trying to see if I can go down to downtown Manhattan to do a show because it's 9/11, but just to talk about some, the good things to do. And where's my ending? My ending, my ending, just in case I can't get to it. Where? Meow. Meow. Oh, she came in. Meow. Nah. Yes, I'll have another glass of wine. Nah. No, you can't have any wine. You don't touch it. Don't.
Are you ready for some football?
Mallory, I love you, Mallory. Everybody, have a great evening, day, or whatever, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.